are going to celebrate fall foods this hour and share ideas on how to use the fall harvest of root vegetables, pumpkins, wild rice, apples, cranberries, and your favorite fall produce. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are going to welcome in a guest chef who has some great ideas on cooking with fall foods. But first, this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Bill Martins joins me because we are going to encourage you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a chance to show your support for all programs that you listen to throughout the year. So take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, Joy, our goal is 15 pledges this hour. And of course, you give to WPR to support the radio you rely on. And your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 552 gets us one step closer to meeting the goal and one step closer to funding the programs you count on.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. We do get funding from the federal government and from the state, but listener contributions make up the single largest source of our income.
Yes, your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important listener support is to WPR, make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, you can choose a set of two WPR pint glasses as your thank you gift for your pledge of $7 a month or more. You probably have a favorite glass. Well, these pint glasses might be your new favorite. They've got both the WPR and NPR logos. We even asked WPR staff to test them out.
This is my favorite vessel for a Bloody Mary.
What wouldn't I put in there? Lots of lemonades and cold beverages, maybe a smoothie or two.
This is a quality glass. I would gladly drink liquids out of this glass.
Check out the glasses at WPR.org. Make your WPR listening experience that much better as you sip on your favorite beverage. Give $7 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and you know, Bill, I have a similar glass from a Green Bay listener event. It was the Toast the Host event, and I put iced coffee in that beverage glass.
It was very good.
Yeah. It does work, and you can have your beverage glasses with your pledge of $7 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can count on Wisconsin Public Radio as a place to hear balanced news and multiple sides of each issue. And this election season is no exception. We are here every day with trustworthy, in-depth coverage so you can cast an informed vote.
WPR is high-quality news, and it's listener-supported news, and it's in-depth talk on those issues that matter to you. You count on us, and we count on you. So donate right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you support WPR, it's an investment that gives back, whether it's the statewide conversations, the entertaining programs, inspiring music. If you've never given before, become our next new member right now.
It's as simple as this. We're here because you're here, both as a listener and as a donor. Become our next new member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with a pledge of $5 or $10 a month or $7 a month if you want those pint glasses. Thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. We think you'll be happy with your investment and the programs you rely on.
Okay, 15 more pledges to go. We've got about 50 minutes to get those. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps.
And remember, this pledge drive, you can ask for the set of two WPR pint glasses. They've got both the WPR and the NPR logos, and you will be proud to drink any beverage from them. They're yours for the pledge of $7 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And hey, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Gerald from Sun Prairie, who says, after listening to WPR for the last month, it has become my number one source for news. I tune in during my morning and afternoon commute. I really enjoy the stories that are reported on, from the latest presidential debate to ancient Japanese rituals that are still being practiced today.
That's quite the range.
I know. A little bit of everything.
We do it all.
On Wisconsin Public Radio. So support that diversity of programming at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill. We'll talk to you later. Well, as the seasons change and the weather cools down, now is the perfect time to head into the kitchen to try some delicious recipes for the fall harvest. We welcome in our guest chef this hour, who will offer some tips for cooking root vegetables like celery root and offer recipes for things like wild rice, squash, and more. And we welcome your questions and your favorite fall food or fall dish. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Very happy to welcome back Monique Hooker. She is a chef, cooking teacher, and author of the book Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen. Good morning, Monique.
Good morning, Joy. Good to be with you again.
It is great to have you back. And first of all, my sympathies. I know you live in the area that was really flood-ravaged short time ago. I hope you're coping all right.
We all are coping all right. It really takes a village to rebuild a village. So, yes, we are. And it's sad, but it's got to be done.
Yeah, well, our very best to you with that. And thank you during this stressful time for joining us during our fall pledge drive with some really wonderful fall produce recipes. We're going to post those recipes. I think we're on the way. It is up on our Facebook page, the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and also at WPR.org/joy. Okay. So we will talk about those recipes as we go along. But first, what do you like about fall produce?
Oh, you know, fall products, it brings you in to warm up, and so does the vegetable. The root vegetables are meant to keep you warm all through winter. It's a warmer food versus the summer vegetables are meant to cool you off, you know, in the summertime. So I do love the root vegetables. Plus, you know, they store so well, and it tastes so wonderful, very buttery and nutty, each and every one of them. And you can combine so many of them together. So when you think of apples, you think of roots, you think of nuts, you think of dry food. The combinations are endless.
Yeah, and I think of soup. I don't know why, but I always think of soup.
Soup too, definitely, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, again, to keep you nice and warm. You know, summertime we have a tendency to make cold soup. In the wintertime, we make nice and thick soup. You know, that sustain us during, you know, for all day sometimes, some of those vegetables. They're so nutritious. They have a different vitamins than we have in the summertime. You get in a lot more minerals. You get your vitamin A, your beta-carotene, all there in the root vegetable. And they're very deep color. They're not bright color. They're very deep color, the difference I see about them. And they produce beautiful velvety texture of vegetables and soup. And they're great companion for delicious stew. It can be a vegetable stew or it can be a lamb stew, for that matter.
Yeah, and let me remind listeners, if you haven't heard Monique before, Monique lives in Wisconsin now. She lives in the Driftless area, but she's from you're from France originally, and you have this book, Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen, which we've talked about many times before, and I didn't know until one of my coworkers told me that celery root, or celeriac, is a very a popular French food.
It is a very popular, not only French food, but European food. And it's really a food of the northern part of Europe. You know, France, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany. We all, England, we all adore that vegetable. It is a staple all through the winter. And, Joy, if you don't mind, let me make sure that our listeners understand it. Celery root is not really its true name. It is not the root that gives us the celery that we know in the store, the celery ribs. it is a sister of the vegetable. So celeriac is a true name for it. We like to call it celery root to really explain to people that it is a root and it tastes like celery, and it is a family of the celery.
I'm but glad you clarified that, because I wasn't sure. I thought perhaps it was the celery root, but it's...
Sometimes people expect that to plant celery, and it does not give a root, a tuber like this one does. The celery that we know, celery ribs, we call that. It's green, and it's got big, long stalk. It doesn't have a tuber as a root. The tuber root of celeriac is a different plant of the same family.
Well, I posted a picture of myself on Friday with...
I saw that. It's beautiful.
And I asked, what is this and what should I do with it? My coworker, Rob Ferrett, had that in his, I think, his CSA box and wondered if I might want to try it. And I said, well, do I ever?
Oh, definitely.
And I did make a salad with it. It was, so it wasn't really warm, but I just, it was just something I found online and I tried it. It was with grated celery root and the grated carrots, some apple, which I thought was also, you know, a fall produce, and some walnuts and some spinach. And then it had a mustard vinaigrette on it, which was very good.
That's right. And we eat it mostly at this time of the year when it first harvested like this. We eat it raw, just like you did, just grated. And we call that a remoulade. And you see it in all the grocery store, delicatessen store, takeout store in Europe. When you go by the window, walking, strolling through the street and passing those windows, you always see those grated vegetables in the window, grated carrots, grated celery, and grated beets. And we eat them raw, and then eventually, as the season moves on, we eat them, we cook them, and they are delicious, make wonderful soup. So to make a remoulade, it's really the best way. I never have my refrigerator without one of those roots ever through the winter. I'll always have one in the refrigerator. It is really, truly a staple. And so it makes beautiful soup. It is the reason that most people don't know what to do with it. It is, to a lot of people, an ugly vegetable. It's very knobby, and it's very thick, and it's very unusual. And when you look at it, it's a big fat tuber. But it is so delicious, and I think everybody should really, really try it. And it stays on the shelf sometime too long. I end up buying two or three of them because I just don't want them to go to waste. And every time I do, someone said, what is that? What do you do with it? So don't be afraid to try it. It is one of the best vegetables. I think, you know, if we all knew how good it is, I think it would be eradicated, you know, like we did with pesto years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of adapting it. And, you know, Joy, the one you had in your hand probably came from one of your favorite farmers, which is Richard DeWild, that runs the Harmony Valley Farm up here. He grows most of them. And we have four farmers who grow them in this Driftless area. And so we have the Driftless farm, we have the Richland farm that grows them, and they're all organic, but they all are so delicious, and they all are at the market, especially in Madison.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. On Facebook, we have a comment from one of our listeners who also enjoys celery root, and it was... let's see, Carrie on Facebook, or Carrie, says, celery root. I love finding celery root at a fall farmer's market. I chop off enough to dice it up and add to recipes as needed. It keeps well until I finally use it up. Great to use in place of celery stalks. It adds a great celery flavor. So is that right? Can we use this in place of...
Definitely. And especially now, in wintertime, I do not buy the celery stalk at all. I just keep the celery root as a replacement. So you do have the flavor of the celery in your salad, in your soup, in your stew. It's the same flavor, but even sweeter. It doesn't have that very sharp green flavor of the celery stalk. And, of course, celery stalk don't come from the area here. So it's really, really good to fall back on the celeriac, for that matter. So, yes, and the other thing that you should know is also the celeriac, it being so ugly, the peel is wonderful. My mother used to peel the celeriac, and then cut the ends off. And then the peel, before she peeled them, she scrubbed it really hard to make sure the skin was nice and clean. And she would take the peel and roast them in the oven and then add the roasted peel to the stew or to the soup to give another dimension to your recipe. And it really gives it a very nice, nutty flavor, almost like you're eating toasted walnuts or hazelnuts.
We will talk about more of the fall produce and what we can do with other root vegetables and with other fall products after this break. And we'll welcome your questions for our guest, Monique Hooker. She is a chef, a cooking teacher, and author of the book Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
La-di-da, oh la-di-da, tis autumn.
Yes, it is autumn, and we are talking about autumn foods or fall foods, and we will get back to our conversation in just a moment. But first, I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and this is the Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like food and politics and education and science. Your support helps make that happen. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love fall in Wisconsin, don't you?
Yes,
I mean, it's
do.
One of the best places to be, and we got our pledge drive, so that's all great stuff, and we are looking for 14 more pledges in the next 35 minutes to stay on track this hour. Your support helps keep this station strong, so help pay for the Joy Cardine Show with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're thinking that your tax dollars already support WPR, you're right. They do, and we thank you for that.
But listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our operating budget. You make the difference. You make the quality and variety of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to, like the Joy Cardine Show, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Become a sustaining member of WPR. Once you set up a comfortable monthly amount from your bank or your credit card, your support goes right to work toward programming that you appreciate.
Because your sustaining donation automatically renews each year, your support will always be current, and you don't have to wonder, you know, is it my time of the year to... You know, every time you hear that during a pledge drive, you're set. So become a sustainer right now with a gift of, say, $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
These days, you can do a lot on the internet. Watch your favorite shows, connect with family and friends, and more. The same is true at WPR.org. There are a lot of options, especially keeping up with election news. You can stay up to date with the latest stories, stream live content, discover more through things like video, images, and graphics, subscribe to newsletters, and connect with us and your fellow listeners through social media. WPR.org offers multi-channel access to the latest election news, and so much more. This election season, support your source in all its forms at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, asking you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the perfect amount.
And if you can, share your passion for WPR by becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle with your pledge of $100 a month or more. We rely on member support, your support, to make great radio.
Gifts of $100 a month, which is, of course, $1,200 for the year, are really important for our future. Help us stay strong and continue to grow with a leadership gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just give the amount that's right for you, and if you need some help figuring that out, think about this. Let's say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard. Now, if you paid a dime for each one of those, that would work out to $10 a month. So make that contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 14 pledges to make our goal for this hour. It's important to stay on track and meet these hourly goals. So make your pledge now to help support the programming that you value and help us reach this goal. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this pledge drive, you can show your support for WPR and ask for a pair pair of WPR pint glasses. They're 16-ounce glass tumblers. They've got the WPR and NPR logos, perfect for your morning grapefruit juice or your, you know, your pumpkin ale when you get home from work since it is fall, right? Show your pride for radio you love when you give $7 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Janet from Marshfield, who says, I finally decided to give a monthly donation because my main source for news is WPR. It's fair and accurate. Thank you very much, Janet, for becoming a sustainer. Now, what about you? WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill. We will check in later. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the fall harvest and what to do with all that wonderful fall produce, all those root vegetables and squash and cranberries and apples and wild rice and what else? Do you have a favorite fall food? Do you have a fall dish that you are eagerly awaiting making or eating? Maybe you already have. 1-800-642-1234. Let us know what that is. Or if you have a question for our guest chef about what to do with some of those fall foods. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Monique Hooker, chef, cooking teacher, author of the book Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen. And we have talked quite a bit about celeriac or celery root that often it's called. And we do have a lot of comments from listeners about celery root, including Grant, who emailed, I like to use celery root in scalloped potatoes by alternating potato slices with the celery root slices. Very good. That's interesting. What do you think of that, Monique?
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, any combination with potato, I was just about to share with you when you're making a, for example, one of the popular soups right now is a vichyssoise, the old-fashioned, you know, soup with potato and leeks. Well, take half of the potato and replace them with a celery root. You would be just so delighted. It is so delicious. It makes a vichyssoise one step better. Celery root goes well with also mashed potato. When Thanksgiving coming up, make sure you've got some celery root in your cupboards because it makes a beautiful mashed potato, always half and half. Which brings up a subject of any of the root, of fall root vegetable can be blended together. You can do like you did in your salad with grated carrots and celery root. Grated parsnip is another one. And parsnip is another vegetable that we don't know what to do with it. And if you, it's better actually in the middle of the winter, in the spring. Parsnip is a vegetable that needs to get sweeter, that needs to mature a little bit.
I absolutely adore. I never used to eat parsnips until someone said roast them.
Roast them.
Oh, my goodness, they are so sweet and so good, and it is so easy to just pop them in the oven. I think I just maybe just add a little olive oil or something.
That's right, and you just brought up the word roasting, and those are the root vegetables. All of them are best just roasting. They don't like to be blended, cooked in water. Water just brings out the nastiness in some of the root vegetables because you have a tendency sometimes to overcook them, and that's the last thing you want to do. You do not want to overcook root vegetables. And so by dicing them or any way you want, and just put them on a sheet pan with a little bit of salt and pepper and a little bit of olive oil, and just roast them in the oven, you know, anywhere from 375 to 400 degrees. And you'll be surprised how delicious they are. And this is what we've done with the farm to school when I was involved with the farm to school. We just roasted vegetables. And sometimes we don't think about that. And yet we love grilled food. We love, you know, seared food. We love baking, which is what brings out the best in all your food, is that high heat, conduction on them. It's just delightful. And so another vegetables that we forget about is the rutabaga and the turnips. And those are other two vegetables that are deliciously grated and serve as a salad. Mix them with the celeriac and the carrot, and we make a beautiful, colorful vegetables. And then blend them with nuts and dry fruit. Those are the seasonal food right now as well. You know, when you think of what to add to your salad, just turn to your beautiful, delicious tree nuts. It could be pecan, walnut. It could be as much as well as black walnut if you can get your hands on them, or you know, hazelnut as well.
And then, I can get my hands on black walnuts. Yeah, they all over my sister's yard and staining their deck, but they are good to eat, huh?
They're good to eat, but they are not easy to crack, like they say, you know. So it's the reason why if you can get your hands on some of them, some people like to crack.
You shared a recipe with us for roasted beet soup, which sounds really good. Tell us about that.
Well, the roast is again back to the beets and boiling beets. I never boil my beets. Even when I pickle them, I roast them first. So the best thing to do with beets is to put them on a heavy duty foil paper or a small pan, whatever fits them snug. They have to be snug together in a pan or in a foil paper, and then just sprinkle with a little bit of olive oil, salt and pepper, and do not peel them. Just cut the greens off. Do not remove the tip or the end. You don't want them to bleed. And then wrap them real tight, either in a very snug pan or either in a foil paper, so there's no steam escaping. And just put them in the oven at 400 degrees and let them roast until they're nice and tender. And what I do is every time I roast a chicken or I do a pot roast, I always have a beets wrapped up in foil paper next to it, so because it takes the same time to roast beet that it does to cook a chicken.
I'm going to try that, Monique. Well, somebody, another guest we had on one time, did mention, or I read it somewhere, to cut off the end of the beet and to boil it. Oh my gosh, my kitchen looked like a crime scene. It was just the worst thing. And you say boiling kind of brings out the not so goodness of these root vegetables.
Oh, it does. It's every single one of them, because it's so easy to overcook them when you're boiling them, but it's not. It doesn't happen when you roast them, because the more you roast them, the better flavor they have, and they peel so easily. But if you want to eat beets raw, they also are delicious. Just don't even have to peel them. Then you cut each end off and then scrub them really good and then grate them like you grate cheese or like you grate carrot or like you grate celeriac. And grated beets are delicious with a beautiful dressing, you know, like a lemon dressing or honey dressing. And honey is one of the best things you can put with your roasted vegetable too. And, of course, why? Honey is just being harvested as well. So this is a good flavor, a good thing to add to your root vegetables, either in a dressing or either when you are cooking them or you are adding to a soup or something. Yeah. So think about that as well.
I wanted to ask you about the wild rice that I picked up. I've been on some road trips through northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota, and I picked up some hand-harvested by the Native Americans wild rice, and I'm looking for ideas on what to do with that.
Well, the wild rice you get up there, and every time I go up to the UP or to northern Minnesota, I always pick up wild rice. That's the only wild rice I eat, so I'll make sure I come back with a nice package of just hand-harvested wild rice. It is very different, and it's much lighter in color than the farm-raised wild rice, which most of it comes from California or a rice paddy somewhere. And the wild rice is just treated just like you would do rice, but blend it with other things. It goes very well also. So it doesn't take long to boil. And it really is a very nutty flavor, very different than regular rice. But it goes well with apples. It goes well with cranberries. So when you are cooking wild rice, make extra. Because the next day, when you can do it, you can turn it into a beautiful salad, just the way you turn your celery root into salad with apples and nuts and greens. Wild rice is the same way. You can do the same kind of salad. And that's what's nice about a lot of the fall vegetables. They all are good and they can interchangeable in any of the recipe that you can think of. So when I use wild rice, I also use extra wild rice to make a beautiful wild rice chowder. And this is the time of the year where soups are so delightful. I mean, my husband and I think most every night we have soups and salad before we for supper.
You know what? We will post that recipe. Well, we have posted that recipe for the wild rice chowder on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and at WPR.org/joy. Also, in the recipes, the celery root remoulade that we talked about earlier and the roasted beet soup. When we come back, we'll talk about a butternut squash soup. Does that sound good? And we'll talk about some other yummy fall foods, and we'll welcome your questions about what to do with some of these fall foods and your favorite dishes. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I am Joy Cardine, and Bill Martins joins me now for a few moments because we are in our fall membership drive. Your support is the foundation of our budget. It is what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. First, Bill Martins is here to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
We are looking for 13 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. Give to WPR to support the station you love, your public radio.
Thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, help pay for the programs that you enjoy every day by making your contribution of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We certainly hope you've been enjoying this conversation about fall cooking and what to do with the fall harvest. We talked about celery root and just got done talking about wild rice. And can I take 30 seconds to tell you what I do with acorn squash?
Yes.
That's amazing. Okay. You cut the squash in half. That's the hardest part, right? It's not easy
to
cut. Scoop the seeds out, put them face down in a glass bowl, add about a quarter cup of water, cover the bowl with plastic and poke a couple holes in the top, stick it in the microwave for like 15, 20 minutes until it gets soft enough that you can just pierce it with a knife, okay? While that's going on, you melt a little bit of butter and brown sugar in a saucepan until it's all combined. When your squash is done, you put them face up on a baking sheet, spoon that butter, brown sugar mixture on top of it, put it under the broiler for like 5-7 minutes, and you get this crust on the top that's just awesome.
That sounds terrible, Bill. Chef Bill, thank you very much. You know what, Bill is a good cook and baker too. He sometimes treats us to cookies and such. So
is that a hint?
Yes, it is. And it's pledge drive. We need some goodies around here.
I'll get on that.
And I'll bring in my celery root salad. If
all right, yeah.
Actually,
I've never had that, but it sounds good.
It was very good. It really was. I just didn't think it was necessarily I do have some leftover, but I just didn't think, you know, the wilted spinach and such was going to be real appetizing right at this moment. So, but I did like it, and I am going to eat the leftovers just by myself.
Well, there you go.
So, why don't you consider how much Wisconsin Public Radio means to you? You get all this great information about cooking and about politics and about social issues. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we live in a generous society. We're quick to help a neighbor in need, and we chip in for good causes. And you can continue that tradition of generosity when you support WPR right now. If you've never given to WPR before, become our next new member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Many new members give $5 or $10 a month, but that amount is totally up to you.
You give to WPR to support the programs you love, and sometimes you just can't resist asking for the latest WPR logo thank you gift. This drive, we've got something that everyone will love and can use. 2 WPR pint glasses. Give $7 a month and ask for your very own set. These pint glasses feature both the WPR and the NPR logos, and they'll make a great addition to your WPR collection. Check them out at WPR.org. Ask for your pair of WPR pint glasses when you give $7 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift of $7 a month or whatever amount you choose is so important. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might feel like WPR is worth $1 million, and you're right, but you don't have that much to give. Well, don't worry. Your gift of any amount, whether it's $5 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount is comfortable for you, that's the right amount. The important thing is to make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Tina from De Pere, who says, my son has physical challenges and loves to spend his free time listening to WPR. He loves the variety of all the shows, the political discussions, the music, the quiz shows, and much more. And she thanks us. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Tina, for that contribution. How about you? How much do you value Wisconsin Public Radio? What amount works in your budget? You decide that and then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll talk more about fall foods after this. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. So who has already made an apple pie or a pumpkin pie? We are talking about what to do with all the great fall produce that is available right now, spending a lot of our time on root vegetables, but also wild rice, and we'll talk about those yummy pumpkins and squash and whatever else you want to talk about. Do you have a favorite fall food? Are you wondering what to do with a root vegetable or something else? Would you like a new idea of what to do with that butternut squash? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Monique Hooker. She is a chef, a cooking teacher, and author of the book Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen. And she recently retired from the farm-to-school program, which was aimed, Monique, at getting healthy, local, seasonal foods in our school lunch programs, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right. And it's been a very successful program. It was very difficult to get it started, but it's like everything else. Once you planted the seed and gave the right environment, it grew, and many, many schools are doing a wonderful job in introducing some really nice, fresh, seasonal food into the cafeteria where the kids are, dining every day. And it's so important for them to get those right vitamins and get them going on the right choices for the future when they're choosing their food. So nice and healthy.
Yeah.
And
they are. That is really a wonderful program. And when kids eat right, they can study better, too.
They sure can. Mm-hmm. They can stay awake and they have a lot more energy. And they have their little brains can grow into wonderful, creative, and very informative young people.
Well, a big fan called in maybe during news to say, Monique is great. I was taught at school in Chicago called Cook Smart. His name is Pierre, and he says, she is the funniest woman. Thank you so much, Monique, for being so great.
Oh, my goodness. That goes many years ago. Thank you, Pierre.
So you were a chef at a school called Cook Smart?
The Cook Smart was a high-end retail store for kitchenware when everybody started redoing their kitchen. It was a version of Williams-Sonoma before Williams-Sonoma or at the same time started up as well. And they had a cooking school where I used to teach a lot of classes to the public.
And before we get to the butternut squash recipe that you shared with us, we do have some other questions and comments from listeners. Tina in Amro is with us. Hi, Tina.
Hi.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, I just heard you talking about the acorn squash recipe, and I have a really hard time cutting the, whether it's acorn or spaghetti squash. I'd really like to try some things, but it's really hard, and I'm wondering if you have any good tips.
Well, one of the best tips to cut your squash, I think, first of all, winter squash, most of us are so anxious to use them that sometimes we try to cut them or cook them before they really are ripe.
Oh.
So when they are so freshly harvested, that is, they are not ripe. The reason they harvested is because the vine that they grow on dies down, and they need to be brought inside. And so you see many times when you travel through the Wisconsin, you see lots of baskets of winter squash sitting on porches or outside the barn or in the barn. They are ripening. And once they start ripening, they're much easier to cut. So I would suggest that's the first thing to try. The spaghetti squash, I think the best thing to do with the spaghetti squash is to poke holes all over it, maybe like 4 or 5 holes in it, and drop it in, put it in simmering water. I don't want to say boiling water. You don't want water to ever boil. You want to bring it to a boil, but lower it to a simmer, and then drop your squash very gently into boiling water. And do that until you can use a kitchen tongs and squeeze and see if the shell gives in, and then take it out and let it cool off, and then break it open, and you can pull the spaghettis out with a fork very easily.
Yeah.
And then use it just like spaghetti or any other squashes.
I didn't realize that. So the squash, that, how long should I let it sit, or do you think the...
Well, again, until it cools off, you can handle it, you know, so to pull the spaghetti out. But in the water, it all depends on your size of the squash and the ripeness of your squash. Again, it's one of those winter squash that needs to be ripened before you can deal with it. Otherwise, the spaghetti,
yeah,
like fiber inside, it's not as sweet as you want it to be. It's too green.
I wasn't clear. I meant, how long are we supposed to wait with that acorn squash or whatever, that kind of squash, just for it to ripen?
It doesn't take long. Usually by the end of October, they're just being harvested right now. And by the time the real cold weather comes in, they really ripen. It takes just a few weeks of warm temperature because outside it's just too cold.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to be brought in warm, you know, away from the shell. And then they last all winter very easily. And as you store them, they also turn a little yellow or orange at one end or the other. They don't stay green all through the winter. Many times they'll change color, and that's a sign. That's a sign that they're nice and sweet. So if you see a little yellow or orange spot at the tip or by the stem side, then you know it's nice and sweet.
Donna from Bailey's Harbor called and wants to know, how do you handle Jerusalem artichokes?
Oh, another one of my favorite. Oh, they're delicious. And that's another very popular root in Europe. They call it topinambour in Europe. But here, we are not as familiar with it because, again, it is a kind of like I think it's a very pretty knob, but most people look at it and it's very ugly. They don't know. They're not familiar with it. But they actually are root of a wild plant that we have here, which is a family of the sunflower. That's why they also call sunchoke, Jerusalem artichokes. I don't know where that name came from, but they do taste like artichokes. And once you cook them, in the same way, you scrub them really nice and you roast them in the oven just like you would do a potato. Treat it just like a potato. And it turns into beautiful, delicious soup. It is a beautiful roasted vegetable. Just dice it if you want to. You can roast it whole. But I do not peel them. The peel gives it a very nutty flavor, like a very extended artichoke flavor. And if you like artichokes, this is the vegetable to use all through the winter. And again, that's one of the vegetables that stores very well. They're very knobby, so if you look at them sometime, you'll have a tendency to think maybe like it looks like a ginger, but it doesn't look like a ginger. It's a potato, but it's not really a potato. So I think it takes someone to venture to taste it. But if you scrub it nicely, put it in the oven or roast it, it's the best way to treat them. Do not cut them up and saute them necessarily. Roast them first. That wonderful high heat just turns the button on to make the artichoke wake up, the artichoke flavor in there. And you see them by the roadside at the end. This is the last flower that you see in the roadside in Wisconsin. And they were very much one of our Native Americans' favorite food. because that was their potato. They would store
That's
them all winter.
My, I think I told you this, or maybe I didn't. My mom and dad would grow Jerusalem artichokes, and they kind of took over, I think, a little bit.
But oh, they're very invasive. You can tell on the side of the road, those very small sunflower-like yellow flower that turn to the sun, and those are your Jerusalem artichokes.
Yeah,
so if you want to harvest them, they're difficult to harvest wild. This is why now they're being farmed. Because while they've been there for so long that the root system is very intricate, very deep, and very knobby, and very difficult to dig up.
Yeah.
So a farm, if you want to grow them, make sure that you frame your patch and don't put it too far, too close to your garden. It will take over very easily.
I promised that we'd talk a little bit about your puree of butternut squash soup recipe. That sounds delicious. What's special about this recipe?
This pureed vegetable is the same thing that Bill was talking about when talking about the butternut, the acorn squash. And it can be done with the acorn squash, pumpkin, or any of the winter squash. But the butternut squash is one of the most common squash that people like beside pumpkin. It's readily available everywhere. And the same thing is just being harvested right now. It is not ready to be baked because you can tell there's a green line by the stem, there's green line at the tip. That means it's not ripe. So I let them sit again for a while. But what I love about them is you just cut them in half lengthwise, you know, from stem to the tip, and oil them very nicely and put them cut side down on the pan, and then just place them in the oven at 375, 400 for about 30 minutes, 35, 45 minutes, depending on how big they are, and until they're soft to the touch. And what it does to the butternut squash, it makes it easy to use. It makes a wonderful puree vegetable as a side dish. It makes a wonderful soup. It blends beautifully with other things. And to show you what you can do with it, the butternut squash, in a school, for the farm to school, we replace a lot of the cheese in a mac and cheese with butternut squash
to make
it healthier. And it's just delightful.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't believe we made it through the whole hour without talking about pies. And we don't have much time, but any tips for pie making, apple pies, pumpkin pies? I mean, any last tips for that?
Well, to choose your pie making item, make sure they are ripe. Make sure they're not too juicy, because otherwise your pie will get very watery. Make sure they're very ripe. That goes for sweet potato, that goes for apple pie, that goes for butternut squash pie, it goes for pumpkin pie. Especially pumpkin pie should be used from a small pumpkin. But Halloween is coming up, and I make pumpkin pie with all the trimmings I get from doing the jack-o'-lantern. And what happens to that, all those pieces from the jack-o'-lantern, is get the kids involved. And take all those pieces, put them in the oven on a sheet pan with a little bit of oil, and again, bake them in the oven until most of the juice is gone. And then take that pulp and turn that into pie or muffin for the kids and feed it to them before they go trick-or-treating so they don't get to eat all that candy.
What a good idea, Monica. Thank you so much for being
with us. You're quite welcome, Joy. It's a pleasure again.
A happy fall to you. Monique Hooker, chef, cooking teacher, author of the book Cooking with the Seasons, A Year in My Kitchen. And now Chef Bill Martins joins me for the last couple of minutes of the program as we are in our fall membership drive, and we are still, Bill, looking for 8 pledges.
We are, and we've got about 3 minutes left, so we've got a little bit of work to do, and your gift right now is so important. Support the programs like the Joy Cardine Show that you rely on every day. Thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On this show, you hear multiple sides of an issue, so you can make up your own mind. You can count on hearing fair, inclusive conversations. We keep up on the issues of the day, as we will in our State Capitol Report coming up in our next hour. But we also have some fun, and we talk about food, and we follow our curiosity, and we learn.
Where else are you going to hear all of this on the radio? just here. It's something special. Your support is a vital part of what makes it possible. The single biggest piece of our funding is listener support. Make your pledge during this, our fall membership drive, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So what does making a pledge mean? A pledge is a promise. We pledge to bring you great shows every day. You pledge to support them with a contribution of any amount.
You help pay the cost of this station, and we'll make sure there's something interesting for you to listen to. That's our pledge. Now, make yours. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've already renewed or are making ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of WPR.
If you haven't given yet, join thousands of other wonderful WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, during this pledge drive, you can show your support for WPR and ask for a pair of WPR pint glasses. They're 16-ounce glass tumblers that will have the WPR and NPR logos, so you can show your pride for the radio station you love when you give $7 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's 888-202-2552 or WPR.org, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill Martins. Thanks to producers Brianne Shasso and Nyasia Ellison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.